I suppose we should begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
All right, so we have three volunteers. Well, I volunteered them and they agreed.
You were tricky, didn't it?
I'm going to ask each of them a question. So Ella, we'll start with you. Pick a color: green, yellow, or pink.
Pink.
All right. Here's your question. I'm going to need to hold this for your answer so we can all hear it. You'll figure it out. Hold the mics, the top mics. All right. Your question is: what were St. Gregory's principal objections to the concept of penal substitutionary atonement?
Honestly, Father, I don't have a clue. I can tell you about the time that I felt the presence of the Lord.
Okay.
My grandma Zoe had a fall, which was unfortunately kind of the beginning of the end for him. He was at home recovering from heart surgery, tripped, and fell on hitting his head, which caused a pretty nasty break. He was at Luther Hospital in Eau Claire, in the ICU when we went to visit him. He was pleasant, but I don't think he really knew who we were, which was really hard to see. But the moment, you know, she was in my fashion, we started singing. He knew every word to the angel cry. He knew every word to St. Simeon's prayer, and he sang the Our Father like he had been singing it for the previous decades. So, in that moment, I felt the overwhelming power and love of the Lord.
Jake. You got the two good colors here,
green.
All right. Does the Orthodox Church prefer our terms to be apophatic or cataphatic theology, and why?
Well, I think I got a pretty good idea, but I... but I don't know that. There are angels in the world. When I was 17, when I had a near-death experience, we were going to go swimming at Fairley Park, and me and Jim Tom were reacting. Jim Edwards. Jim Edwards had a 4-H exchange student with him, and so we were going to go up there after, of course, I don't know, you know. And once my feet left the ground, I panicked, and once I finally finished thrashing around, you know, always hear that you see a light at the end of the tunnel, and it gets brighter and brighter. No, that's true. And then as I got closer to that light, I calmed down. I mean, I was at peace with the world. And then the next thing I knew, I was standing up in the water, here from Ardo. And this guy from Illinois, the 4-H exchange student, he pulled me in. And I'm here today.
Thank you, Jake. Carrie, you get yellow.
I'm prepared, I got notes.
Okay. You got notes to all three of my questions.
No, I was ready.
Can you describe the Monophysite controversy of the early 5th century?
I forgot to write that part down. Well, Father, I don't know that. But what I do know is that God led me to the absolute perfect profession. I don't know if things happen for a reason or not, but I do know that because of certain events, I've ended up doing what I love. One of those events happened right here in church during vacation Bible school when I was around 6 or 7. It must have been music time, and I was singing while sitting by Julie White, and she told me I had the most beautiful voice. Now, as a teacher now, I realize that she was just being nice. But I believed her. Around the age of 9, my parents took me to meet Dana Yell, a name I'll never forget because he sold us our very own piano. I'll never forget that old man playing the most glorious instrument I've ever heard. From there were many other things that fell into place to make me realize that music might be for me. However, the music of our church and the people that make it are what have always been there for me. As a small child, looking up and hearing Sophie Dennis's angelic voice, Sharon Katz teaching me the alto line, and watching and admiring Paula lead us through every service. But what really influenced me was Deacon Nick. His kind compassion and gentle urging to have faith and keep trying, even when I wanted to cry through services because I couldn't find the pitches. He said, you will, and you are here. Thank you for being here. God brought these people and musical moments into my life. Because of those times, I'm happy to say I have the perfect job for me, the absolute best job in the whole wide world. And even though 2020, when we couldn't make music the way we were used to, we still did. With God's help and guidance, I was able to lead my students and give them the support they needed through music. Between the Cappadocian and Alexandrian Christology?
Carrie, no, I cannot. But I can tell you, that 2007 and 2008 was a very rough year in my life. I lost a friend and parishioner to suicide in that period. I lost another friend and parishioner to cancer, who is the father of three school-age children in that period. And I lost a four-year-old angel, who is my hero and always will be in that period. And it was about the time that our national church was collapsing because of scandals. And I was dealing with an awful lot of inner anxiety, and it was a very difficult time for me. And then on Pascha of 2009, we were walking around the church, and it was the third procession, and we were just about getting to the front steps where I would read the gospel of the resurrection, and I walked through something, and I don't know what it was. It wasn't something you could see with your eyes. It was not something you could feel with your skin, but it was something that was real and bright, not in a visual way, but in an internal way. Maybe it was God, maybe it was an angel. I think it was Maddie. I really do. It smelled like baby. But the good kind of baby smell, mind you. You know, their hair, that kind. And afterwards, there was something there that changed in me. Afterwards, those friends of mine remained dead. The National Church didn't get fixed, not like that anyway, and I still had to deal with my inner anxiety. But I was given a new and unbreakable sense of peace and joy and strength to push through all that and hopefully acquire the Spirit of God, as St. Seraphim teaches. Grief and struggle didn't go away, but God's grace is greater than the pain. So, Carrie, that's my answer to your question. Why do I ask these off-the-wall questions of these three volunteers, and why did I let them ask me an off-the-wall question? It was certainly not to embarrass anyone. I honestly didn't know the answer to Carrie's question. It is a real question. The whole point is you don't have to know the answers to all the questions. Everyone gets asked questions they don't know the answer to. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. But notice our volunteers did not stop at I don't know. They said, I don't know that, but what I do know is, and they shared a story. They went on to tell something they do know. They told their own story, and it could be a dramatic, you know, life or death story. It could be a heartbreaking story. It could be something that they end up doing the rest of their life kind of story. It could have been the way God touches us inside kind of story. But the important thing is that it was their own. It was their own story. In our gospel reading today, a man was blind from birth, never was able to see, and Jesus comes and heals him. And in the midst of all his joy, wouldn't you know, people start questioning him. These Pharisees start, what did he do to you? Why did he make you make mud on the Sabbath? What do you think of him? Is he a prophet? Is he a sinner? And then they ask him again, and they bring his parents in to question him. And do you remember what he said to all these questions? I don't know. I don't know. He says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know. What I do know is that I was blind and now I see. He was not afraid to say, I don't know, to their theological questions. But he didn't stop at I don't know. He said, but here's my story. I was blind and now I see. Brothers and sisters, we've been together 25 years now. And I know that all of you have a story. Every single one of you have a story. And the older you get, the more stories you rack up. You have your story, I have mine, and your story is valuable. And so today I would like to really encourage everybody. When someone comes and asks you about the Orthodox Church or the gospel or asks you about God, or asks you about the faith, or asks you about the church, and you don't know the answer, I want you to be like our three volunteers and say, I don't know. I don't know. But I also want you to be like our three volunteers and say, but I have a story for you. Amen.